Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gaumond, and welcome to Monday's show. I was off the last few days, last week, Thursday and Friday. Had to be out of town doing some things, and so that I'm back today. What's the show about today? I know I have some articles. A lot of Abraham material, if you're interested in that, a law of attraction material. Wanted to give you a little bit of a commentary from a point of view that I have. And you may agree or disagree, or maybe you have parts of agreement with me, but I wanted to throw that out there. Wanted to talk to some dead people, so I want you to call in if there's anybody, ancestors, famous people that you want to talk to, get a message. That's what I do. So if you even have like what we call psychic questions, I'll try to get a message from one of your ancestors, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, can give you an answer. That's the kind of people I like to talk to, or in some cases a famous person that is well-knowledged in your field. We can do that too. So what is my, that's basically it. So I'll take calls and we'll do that. We'll get some messages from some of your ancestors. I call them dead people. They're not really dead. So how was your weekend? Did you have any fun? I'm kind of like in pain, and I guess my wrist and my right hand, which is not a great hand to have pain. And I thought it was arthritis, and it might be a little bit of arthritis thrown in there, but I think it's gout, which I have no clue. I mean, I've had gout since about 1989, 90, somewhere in that time frame, way back when, off and on. But I pretty much thought I had eliminated every food out of my diet and drink and so forth and so on that would cause gout. But it popped up, so I have to go back and review what I've been eating again, look back at the rule. Yeah, so it's funny that gout is not going to be covered under this new insurance plan, which is like very painful. It's like, oh no, not much you can do about it. There are pills that'll help prevent it. And so maybe that's what they're talking about, a pre-existing condition. You don't know till you know. Gout is really kind of a hereditary thing, and you really don't know you're going to get it till you get it. Now, there's certain things, if you drink a lot of alcohol, especially beer and wine, if you have a genetic tendency towards it, you'll get it. Or if you eat a lot of red meats and certain kind of meats, you'll get it. And in my case, even certain kinds of proteins will add to it. Like, I mean, peas, like chickpeas and certain beans, if I eat too much of that, so I'll get it. So that's one of those, you don't know, as a pre-existing condition, you don't know till you know. It's like a genetic thing. Predispositions are certain things like hypertension. I have tendency towards high blood pressure. You don't know till you know. Pre-existing starts at childhood. So I'm not going to get into the medical thing. I think that's a whole controversy we're not going to talk about today. Maybe sometime in the future I'll give you spirit's opinions. I always try to give you spirit's opinions on this, you know, in my channeling and my spirit guides and what they have to say about some of these subjects. Just, you know, mostly what they'll throw out is it loving? Is it a loving presentation of, is there love? Is there unconditional love that's being offered in this case? Is there compassion? Is there love? Is there kindness? So speaking about all that, now I want to take your calls and we'll let dead people talk to you about your particular issues and we'll get into some articles. And we'll do that, time permitting, of course. I'd rather take your calls first, and then we can do the other things. Okay? Got it? But I want to talk about the immigration policy in this country and what's going on with deporting people who came into this country illegally. Now, I watched a program in 60 Minutes last night, and there was a gentleman who has been in the United States for 20 years. I believe it was 20 years. And I'm trying to paraphrase, and he settled down, was living in a small town in, I believe it was Indiana, got married to an American citizen who actually had come from Greece and became an American citizen, had three children that are American citizens. Though the interesting part of this story is that because of going to Canada and coming back, and I'm fuzzy on all the details, but so basically the immigration department, you know, he had to report to the immigration department, and he got a waiver, he got a social security card, he got a driver's license, but he had to report to the immigration department every year. And they had to make sure that he was okay, you know, without doing anything horrible, crimes or anything all involved. He was a model citizen, actually owned a restaurant, employed 20 people. You would think that he's living the American dream. But last time he went to the immigration department to do his report, return himself in for a report, just a general run-of-the-mill report, they process him for deportation. And now he's been deported back to Mexico, where he hadn't been in 20 years. I mean, maybe I don't think he even visited Mexico. Didn't say that. But obviously, probably you wouldn't want to go back to visit and then have to come back in the United States with our immigration policy. So what's the answer for all this? And I have an opinion, and I'm trying to get Spirit's opinion on it. And we'll go back to the word compassion. We'll go back to the word kindness. And we'll go back to the word of cause and effect, or the expression cause and effect. My point of view, and you may agree or disagree, and I'd love to hear your points of view on this. And I know some people will say, if you came into this country illegally, you should be deported. No questions, no doubt, that absolutely done. Okay. Now, that's not showing a whole lot of mercy or compassion, but what about a person who's been here 20 years and started to gone through the process of living legally in this country? I mean, they made a mistake. And I realize that man made a mistake according to our laws, but then laws are supposed to have mercies attached to them. So what do you do in that case? He's been here 20 years. He's been here a number of years, and finally the immigration department is aware of him and aware of his whereabouts and know he's here. Is there a path to citizenship? Is this man willing to take a path to citizenship? That would be the first question I would ask. Is he willing to become a citizen of the United States? If he's willing to become a citizen of the United States, then there should be a path to citizenship. Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be punishment. But deportation seems to be an extreme form of punishment for this kind of situation. Mercy, compassion, kindness would indicate that because of the mitigating circumstances, that the punishment should be more along the line of a fine, maybe based on how many years he's been here illegally. Okay. You know, something that's fairly reasonable amount that a person could pay. Okay. I don't know the number. So I'm not trying to give you a number. Or what about the other idea is community service? Government service of some kind. If he's 40-something years old, that's going to be a little tough to put him in the Army, obviously. But if he's younger, well, there's that possibility. But certain requirements to a pathway to citizenship. There is a certain punishment. The punishment would be community service. Okay, couldn't follow the... And also, or community service, and he has to work also. Kind of like, I guess you would say that some people are sentenced to sentenced to jail, but they allowed to do outpatient. Allowed to be on the outside serving their time with an ankle bracelet. Off doing community service, having a job, so forth and so on. To me, that seems a reasonable punishment. But you have to look at it individually. That some people, and of course, criminals and people who have a record like that shouldn't be able to stay in the country. They should be deported or put in jail and deported. Okay, so I have mixed feelings. Yeah, I think we should apply compassion to these people. Those who have been in the country for a number of years, but they should be held accountable for their illegally entering the country and staying illegally, but also given, you know, if they're a model citizen and they're contributing to society, given a pathway to citizenship. But it's almost a requirement. It's not just, oh, well, if you want to become a citizen, that would be nice. No. you intend to stay, you're going to become a citizen. You have to work that way. And also there should be some kind of punishment, either a fine of some kind or community service or fine and community service, a combination of that. To me, that's mercy. To me, that's compassion. That's not tearing families apart and sending somebody back to a country where they're not, they haven't been there in 25 years, 20 years, even 15 years. What are they going to do? Well, and in the case of this gentleman, he has been a contributor to society. He had owned a restaurant. He had employed people. He was a member of the community. Okay, so my point is, in all this, there needs to be a balanced attitude about this whole thing. Now, what if a person had been 5 years or 6 years? I mean, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not trying to say that I have all the answers, but all I'm saying is really there needs to be compassion in these kind of situations. There needs to be judged on an individual basis and how much the person contributes to society and his intention or her intention that they want to become U.S. citizens. Now, you can't require that they speak English. Now, that would be wonderful. But there are a lot of people that are U.S. citizens that appear on green cards that don't speak English or speak very little English. I mean, I have neighbors that are from Vietnam that don't speak very much English, but they've been residents of this country for a long period of time. So the English speaking, I don't believe, is really a requirement, but it does help to function in society to speak English because, well, it's the language of commerce. So that's my take on the immigration situation. Just deporting people randomly without any compassion, without mercy, without taking into account the circumstances, ripping people, families apart without some kind of process, perhaps allowing the person to work their way into staying and becoming a citizen because they're needed. Now, the other part of that is these people, how do they end up staying here? How do they end up getting a job? And this gentleman eventually got his own business, but he had to work for people. He had to work for restaurants or whatever in this country. So the responsibility goes back to the employer. The employer is when this person first comes into this country and starts working for people. They have a responsibility. They're hiring illegal immigrants. And why do they do that? Well, because they work cheaper. And so they're skirting the laws. And so some of the punishment goes back to the employers, the fines, the deportations. The employers had to be held accountable. Now, employers will say, we can't do that. But employers also have the responsibility if they're going to hire people that come into this country from another country and to work, that there needs to be work permits. There needs to be a process of allowing them to stay under certain visas to work for certain periods of time. Okay, so that's my whole take on this immigration policy. I just, you know, connecting from a spiritual point of view and from point of view of unconditional love and kindness and mercy and compassion, there needs to be a little more compassion and unconditional love applied to these situations versus, oh, well, they broke the law, I'm just going to throw them away. People all the time break laws. Not everybody's thrown on the bus because they break a law. People in this country break laws all the time. So I'm going to end my commentary about the immigration policy because I think it's like, that's enough. That's enough for today. That's just my opinion. That's based on spirituality and mercy, kindness, compassion, and unconditional love. And thanks, these people are needed. Okay, so let me get into the concept of what we're talking about today. We're going to talk to dead people. So if you want to call in and have a message from whatever's going on in your life, whatever your concerns are, we can talk to one of your ancestors about that and we can do that. And I'll get into some articles. I have some Abraham material that I wanted to cover, a few articles. And Also, one of my favorite authors is Pam Grouton. She had an article, a blog, that I wanted to read part of it because I think it's kind of an interesting. This is all about attracting what you want in life. How do you get these things that you want in life? How to attract these things that you need in life, right? And want. Wants and needs, right? Wants and needs. So that's what we're going to delve into. The commentary part was all about that immigration policy. Maybe we'll talk about health insurance tomorrow. I don't know. I'll be back tomorrow. My opinion from Spirit's point of view, not from my personal point of view. I'm always trying to listen to Spirit, my Spirit guides, and what they might have to say on some of these issues. And how do we apply spirituality? How do we apply kindness, mercy, forgiveness? Oh, forgiveness. I have a quote that I thought was really interesting on forgiveness. It was from, and I post these out every day, just about every day, on Facebook from values.com. Now, they're on various subjects. Indira Gandhi, who was the former Prime Minister of India, forgiveness is a virtue of the brave. I thought that was an interesting quote. Forgiveness is a virtue of the brave. Sometimes it is brave to forgive somebody, right? Just, I forgive you. You know, yeah, not even telling them, I forgive you. My comment on this, and I posted on Instagram, the thought about forgiveness is that forgiveness is a key element in staying happy. You know, if you're carrying around the wounds and the vengeance and the attitude against somebody in your life, it drags on your happiness because you're always thinking about, well, they did this to me and they did that to me and they did this and they did that. And that just drags on your vibration. It gets you out of the vibration of joy. It gets you out of the vibration of love. It gets you out of that feeling of happiness. So forgiveness just kind of releases all that. You forgive and you let them go. Doesn't mean you want that to be done to you again. That's an obvious statement, isn't it? I never want this to be done to me again, but I'm forgiving because I'm releasing that energy. I'm releasing that person. I'm no longer harboring that person within me. And whatever they did, I'm allowing it to go. And so you can go into this place of maintaining your happiness, maintaining your feeling good, because you're not carrying that person around with you and whatever they did. Because they're human, right? Send them to the light. Send them to God. Send them to the universe. Knowing that they're humans, they make mistakes. And perhaps it was a mistake. It wasn't intentional. Even if it was intentional, forgiveness just releases them from your consciousness. You let them go. You let them go. You no longer have to keep them around you. You know, when you have somebody who has harmed you in some way, or you assume that they have harmed you in some way and you haven't forgiven them, you're keeping their energy with you, their negativity with you, and the negativeness of whatever they were doing with you. So forgiveness, let it go. Just let it go. I know it's not always easy, but it's necessary to maintain your happiness. Okay, enough of that. Whew, that was a lot on happiness. I didn't expect to go that deep into that particular subject. So take your calls. You still got 20-something minutes left if you want to talk to some dead people and you want to get a message and whatever is going on in your life from your ancestors, spirit guides, well, mostly ancestors, maybe famous people. So let me give you a couple quotes from the Abraham material, which kind of applies to what we're talking about here. And we'll go from there. So what do we have? Today's quote, this is a long one. It's from 1999, January 16th. If you're familiar with the Abraham material, Esther and Jerry Hicks, and the Law of Attraction, Esther was in The Secret, and Abraham being a group of non-physical entities that present material through her. I call it channeling. She doesn't like to use the word channeling, but I call it channeling. It is channeling in so many words. Is Abraham saying that you could reach what you consider to be a prime human physical condition and that you can maintain it for as long as you remain physically focused in this body? The answer is yes. Absolutely, yes. And it doesn't mean you reach your prime and then jump off a cliff the same day. It means reach your prime and bask in the deliciousness of that. Now, why is the other than that the more consistent experience? So, okay, that's a pretty obvious statement. Why? Why? You know, most people don't reach that prime condition in life, do they? Okay, because most everybody is looking around and vibrating in response to what they are seeing. So, what is the solution? I'll give you an example of that. Okay, watch television sometime and see how many advertisements you see for drugs to cure a certain disease. They talk about cancer, they talk about this, they talk about that. It's your experience in the world is what you're seeing is illness. What you're seeing in the world is people not in prime physical conditions. You watch, you know, news shows, they talk about people being overweight, they talk about this. So your experience in day-to-day life is not people in prime physical conditions. Now, if you could focus on them only, you could hang out at the gym all day long, that would be a whole different story. So what is the solution? According to Abraham, look around less. Imagine more. Look around less. Imagine more. Until your imagery is the most familiar vibration that you can have. So imagine your body in physical. Don't pay attention to the people around you and the physical conditions and put your mindset on all the physical problems that people have. And then that's all you're thinking about is people's physical problems, right? Overweight, this disease, that disease, this is going on. And you sit there and think, well, maybe that'll happen to me. Well, okay, what Abraham is saying and the law of attraction would tell you to do is use your imagination. See yourself in prime physical shape with no physical conditions that are detrimental to your health. It's an interesting way of looking at it. And so we probably watch, you'd have to mute all those shows, right? Or turn them off or avoid the commercials. Now, you could take that to the other extreme too. And what Spirit's trying to indicate is that if you look at the world and look at the eating habits of the world and the lack of exercises in the world, then you realize how we are being led into this unhealthy diets, an unhealthy way of living. So stop it. Stop paying attention to all that and imagine your life the way you want it to be. Imagine your life the way you want to feel, eating healthy, doing, you know, your body beautiful. For you, everybody's going to be individual about that. So that's an interesting quote from the Abraham material, and I thought it was kind of fascinating if you look at it through that way. Okay, another one. I got two more, then we'll kind of move on to some other things, and I'll check back with you guys and see if anybody wants to talk to dead people today. Nope. Okay, so back to the article. Back to Abraham. This is from 2005 from a workshop in San Antonio, Texas. When you talk about what you want and why you want it, there's usually less resistance within you than when you talk about what you want and how you're going to get it. When you pose questions that don't have answers for the how, where, when, and who, it sets up a contradictory vibration that slows everything down. I was watching this little Abraham, you know, Esther, Abraham, I guess it was on a cruise. Somebody was asking her basically a very similar question. I was watching that this morning for a little bit. And it's that whole idea of when you talk about what you want and why you want it, that creates a whole vibration. What I want is whatever it is, right? And you create less resistance, a vibrational resistance to that. But when you flip into how, like, because that creates doubt. How can that ever happen? I can't see how that can happen. I don't know. That creates resistance to what you want, doesn't it? It creates a resistance. Or where or when? Where's it going to happen? When is it going to happen? Ooh, when's a big one, right? When's that going to happen in my life? Yeah, I say those words when I say I want something and why I want it. You can feel really good. Your body can feel good because you want this. Like, okay, let me give you my own personal example. I can think about wanting a Mini Cooper. I like Mini Coopers. For some reason, I have a fascination for Mini Coopers. I have an older sedan. I like the idea of something smaller and, you know, tootle around in. Okay, that feels good. I want it. And why I want it is because of a lot of different reasons. But then when I get into how is that going to happen, suddenly my body just shifts into like, ooh, how? I don't know how. Or where? Well, I don't know where I'm going to get that. Or when am I going to get that? Or who's going to give it to me? So you can see that as soon as that your body, your emotions react to the how, when, where, and who, and you get this kind of yucky feeling, it's telling you you're in resistance to what you really want. So it's here is the idea of really paying attention to your emotions. If you want to find out what you really, where you're at emotionally and related to what you're. My phone's going off for some reason. I forgot to turn it off. Okay, we'll let that go. Whew. Didn't even ask me to cancel it. I don't know what happened, so I deleted it. They can leave a response. But, okay, so we'll get back to work. I thought I put my phone on mute. I don't know what happened. Ooh, weird, huh? Okay, we're back to that whole statement. So listen to your body. Listen to your emotions. And when you start to move into the how or the where or the when, how do you feel? Does it feel good? Does it feel really positive? If it doesn't, then you're putting up resistance to what you want. And the resistance sets you apart from what you want. So that's enough of that quote. But I thought these are really interesting ways to start Monday. It's all about little quotes and so forth and ideas about the law of attraction. Got one more, if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Boom. These are all left over from the weekend. Okay, so this is from 1999, Abraham quote again from a workshop in Boston, Massachusetts, right? Don't do anything that you don't really want to do. Isn't that a wonderful statement? How many of us live by that, though? Don't do anything that you don't really want to do. Keep yourself in a place of feeling good. Feeling good. Reach for the thought that feels better. And watch what happens. Now, I was watching, again, 60 Minutes last night, and the last episode was about segment was about the Chicago Cubs, who won the World Series for the first time in 108 years. It was 108 years? I don't know, something like that, right? And they were talking to the manager, Joe Maddon, and they were asking about his philosophy of baseball. And he had a really interesting philosophy about life and baseball. And he says, it's got to be fun. We got to keep it, make it fun. If we're not having fun, basically, we're not successful. You ever think about that in your own personal life? If I'm not having fun at whatever I'm doing, then I'm not really being successful. If it doesn't feel good and I'm not having fun doing it, it just isn't successful. Maintaining that feel good. Having fun at whatever you do, making whatever you do play. That is so contradictory to what society does, right? Well, go get a job, work at your job, right? Do your job, and that's all you need to do. You don't have to enjoy your job. Just put your time in. Think about it. Keep yourself in a place of feeling good. Reach for the thought that feels better. And watch what happens. Now, if you're playing baseball or whatever you're doing, if you're having fun doing and if you're really into it, doesn't time go by faster? Don't you feel good about what you're doing? Shouldn't we be reaching for that feeling good in whatever we're doing? Not easy sometimes. I understand. I'm guilty as much as anyone of just doing things because you got to do it and not necessarily because it feels good to do it. But ultimately, the goal should be keep yourself in a place of feeling good. Reach for the thought that feels better. And sometimes it's your attitude about your job. Sometimes it's changing your attitude about what you're doing to make it more fun. to make it more interesting. I mean, you can do what's considered like the most mundane jobs in the world. You know, I remember reading articles about a gentleman who was a janitor, you know, polishing floors and cleaning. He had fun doing it. He made it fun. And he was highly respected by his peers and the company and everybody he worked with, because he really took the joy in what he was doing and made it fun, made it interesting for himself. Smile all the time, just kind of doing it. I remember a taxi driver doing basically the same thing, made it fun, made it an enjoyable experience. Why not? Whatever you're doing. So if you're not having fun, I guess the question is, can you do it then? Can you shift it? Can you change it? Can you shift your attitude to whatever you're doing and make an enjoyable experience? Not, well, if I get this done in about the next minute, I can go have some fun, right? Oh, everything is just beyond me and I can go have some fun. I was kind of grew up that way. Well, if I get this done, then I can go have some fun, right? That's like this, I just had this epiphany about my own life. Okay, if I get this done, then I can go have some fun. Instead of saying, I'm going to have fun while I'm doing this. I'm just going to enjoy the experience of whatever I'm in. And stop trying to make it the end. If I get this done, I'm going to go have some fun and feel good. It's a challenge, isn't it? But we can do it. We can do it, right? We can do it. Okay, I'm going to check back with you guys. Okay, moving right along. Other articles. Well, let me get into the Pam Grout articles. And this is more about manifesting. Cool, right? I'm not going to read them all. I like this article a lot. It's one of the people wrote into her from her books of E Squared, E Cubed, or Think and Grow Rich, one of her three books that talk about manifesting, creating, bringing things in from the universe, the field of potentiality, of asking the universe and sitting back and waiting for it to happen, right? Letting it happen instead of worrying about the how, when, where, why. How, when, where. Yeah, the why is okay. Why you want it is cool. About 6 years ago, I was depressed and lonely and overweight. I didn't know what to do with my life. I was drinking all the time and knew at some point I had to do something to change my life. One day I told my husband I was quitting my job. I don't care what happens. We will survive. Do you ever get to that point where I'm going to quit my job? I've gotten to that point. I'm going to quit my job. I'm done here, right? I bought a junky camera with a credit card that I knew I would not pay, but I was desperate. I bought it and started taking photos and went on YouTube and learned how to do makeup and hair. I created a photo area in my 100 degree heat garage and started inviting people to come to take pictures in that heat. And they came. Man, did they come. I was free. It was free, of course, but I was relentless. I worked and worked. Now, obviously, she must like photography to do this. You have to like taking pictures to do it in 100 degree temperature. She wasn't being paid. She was just doing this, taking pictures, right? She had a plan though, but I was relentless. I worked and worked and I did catalogs for free. Fashion shows, everyone who would let me, I would take photos of. It's a passion. It's something that she really got into and enjoyed doing, right? Obviously, there was no money in it at that time. Actually, she owed for the camera. She thought she'd never be able to pay off. One day, a friend of mine was a photo editor for a fashion company and said, hey, I need a photo retoucher with beginning experience. They hired me on the spot. I didn't even know how to turn on an iMac, but again, I was relentless. I was 30 years old and starting all over. I didn't care. Long story short, I went from making $11 an hour to almost $330,000 a year in just 2.5 years. I've worked on magazine covers, Victoria's Secret models, celebrities, and even one of my images appear on NBC television, right? Okay, I manifested all of this. I never doubted in my mind that these things could happen. But even when everyone thought I was insane, one year when I first started, I held a magazine called Bullet, and I said, man, I'm going to work on the cover of this one day. One year later, I was retouching Jonah Hill flipping off the camera on the cover. After that, I started a job making $45,000 a year and told my husband, 1 year from now, I'm going to make $70,000. 1 year later, I got that raise and was now making $70,000 a year. It's like you have to believe. Now, that person didn't get hung up on how is it going to ever happen. They didn't get hung up on when's this ever going to happen. But they did get hung up on why, because they love to do it, obviously, or they wouldn't do it. They love the challenges of doing it. So they put it out there. Okay. These things were not silly dreams. Okay, let me finish the rest. This is an article. Let me finish this thing. These things were not really dreams. They are what we decide we want to be. I just finished reading Think and Grow Rich, and I loved it. One of my common practices is when I am sitting at the computer working on and freelance, I feel tired. I take a breath, take a deep look, and say, thank you for the opportunity to work on this amazing project and to put love and passion into it. Ooh, don't you? Wow, isn't that a cool statement? Appreciating, saying thank you. I'm so grateful to have this job and this project, and I'm going to pour my love and compassion back into it. Isn't that a cool statement? Do we do that? Do we say thank you for this opportunity? Like, do I say thank you for this opportunity of doing this radio show, not worrying about how it's ever going to make me money or when is it ever going to make me money, but I know what I do it because I love it. And I'm passionate about it. And sometimes it's, you know, I have to get myself up to do it some days, but I do love doing this. So that's my attitude. So I have to pour my passion, my love back into it. And what ends up happening is the project becomes easy and it goes by rather quickly. If I told myself it is hard, I would lose my mind and the hours would drag on. So, hey, I really love doing this. I'm passionate about it, right? Okay, so I think we'll just finish with that particular section of the thing. I thought that was a really interesting part of her article. Pam Grout, I get daily blog. She probably blogs a couple different times a week. And that was one I thought was really cool because think about it. What are we doing? Can we stop and say, thank you for this job? I really appreciate this job. I'm so grateful I have this job. And then put your love and your compassion back into your job or whatever you're doing, whatever it is. Maybe your job is raising 6 children, you know, whatever it is, right? Do you just stop and say, I'm so grateful that I can be an influence in these children's lives, right? I am so grateful that I have these children, that I can be a positive influence in their lives, and then throw your love back into it. Jesus, it shifts your attitude, doesn't it? Okay, so I'm going to a couple other articles. Oh, let me think. Let me contemplate. How about 10 necessary happy habits? This is from beliefnet.com. I wanted to do this one and thought it was kind of fun and positive energies, right? Number one, and we're kind of retreading over old stuff here, but it's always good to bring you reminded. 10 necessary habits to make happy. Happy habits. And who wrote this article? It's from beliefnet.com, and I don't see the author yet, but I will eventually. We'll get to the author. Be thankful. Being thankful affects your mood along with your body. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this day. I'm grateful for this. So studies show people who exercise gratitude can ward off infection better and live longer. I'm grateful for my health. Yeah, I'm grateful for how I feel most of the time, right? I am really appreciative that I have answers to my health. I'm appreciative I know what's wrong and I can correct it, right? I don't know how sometimes, but I know it can be corrected. So I appreciate, like, my gout. I know what I have. I appreciate knowing the knowledge that it can be healed. And I'm grateful that my body is able to heal itself, right? Isn't that beautiful? So that's just a little take on that. Smile. Ooh, necessary happy habits. Smile. Smiling will put you in a good mood by alerting your brain to be happy. Oh, that connection, you know, the physical and emotional connection, right? Smiling will also make you look younger and release endorphins. You ever seen pictures of people who don't smile and do smile? You see the same person smiling and they say in another picture of them looking grumpy. Don't they look younger in that smiling picture than the grumpy picture? I mean, do it yourself. Look in the mirror, smile, and then put the grumpy face on, and then go back to smile. Don't you look younger when you're smiling, happier? And they say that when you smile, you attract people into your life. You should always be smiling. Smiling as much as you possibly can, right? Happy habits, buddies, connecting with others brings a sense of fulfillment during rough patches and good times. According to a study, 22% of people with strong network of friends live longer than those without. Okay, so what do you think? Do you have a good network of friends? I mean, it's good to have a few really, really good friends than it is to have a lot of acquaintances. Like really good friends that you can actually laugh with and have fun with versus a lot of acquaintances. That few good friends that you can go to lunch with. Men do that. Women do that, right? You have your buddies. Laughing. Ooh, next one. That's a good one. Laughing can help you burn calories. This is a study released by the Vanderbilt study in 2005. A belly laugh for 10 to 15 minutes a day can burn up to 4 pounds a year. Laughing, finding things that make you laugh, that you find enjoyable. These are all happy habits versus negative habits. It's kind of fun. Create happy habits like laughing, having good friends. Positive energy friends, right? High vibrational friends. This next one cracks me up. Now, you may agree or disagree with this one, but I like it anyway. Shop. Window shopping. See, it says window shopping at the mall not only will keep you happy, but also walk off that high-calorie caffeinated beverage. Yeah, you got your whatever from Starbucks, right, with all this stuff in it. Go out for a walk. Go window shopping. You know, in the Abraham material, the law of attraction material, it says one of the things that is kind of interesting is when you go out walking, just carry some money with you. Get like $100, right? Or have $100 loose on a credit card or whatever, or a debit card. Or just know that you have the money with you that you could spend it if you really want to. And you go window shopping. Hey, I could buy that. I could buy that. I could buy that if I wanted it. I could buy that right now. You had the space to buy it. So it makes you feel good to know that you can do things. And the law of attraction was going to show you more things to buy that you want. You may not buy them all, but maybe a little more selective in what you buy and go, I want to use my money on something else. But, okay, another one. How about letting go? Now, we're back to this whole thing about forgiveness, right? Happy habits is forgiveness. But it says letting go. Letting go of grudges will help you live a happier life. Name the hurts on a piece of paper, then destroy the list as you act of letting issues or people go. So forgiveness, forgive yourself. Sometimes just forgiving yourself, that's an act of forgiving yourself or forgiving other people. You can live longer by forgiving. I think we're almost done here. And then the next one, I'm kind of like, yeah, really. Really? Well, my phone went crazy again, guys. Sorry about that. Okay, we just killed the phone. Okay, so arise early. Getting up early every day will make you more productive and energized. Now, I'm more of a night owl, so it's really hard for me to get up early every morning. But that's your choice, isn't it? That really is your choice. But getting the day started, having a good jump on the day, not getting stressed out. Okay, I'm almost done here. Thank you for listening. Love you guys. I will be back tomorrow. I'll do a little bit more commentary tomorrow, but we'll basically do the same thing. We'll talk to dead people. We'll see what they have to say to you. They'll answer your questions, give you a little guidance in your life, those ancestors. And yeah, have a beautiful day. go have some fun. Yeah, go have some fun. Bye.